Hi, you're listening to the My Body, My Story podcast.
I was very close to dying and I was in hospital for about four and a half months and I had to learn to walk again and everything. And that has changed everything for me, what aging means. And now I experience it as an immense privilege.
This is the 45 over 45 chapter where we celebrate rule breakers and role models, the women who inspire us to live life our way and to show their sensuality, beauty, soul, and true essence. Here, we talk about what it's like to be 45 plus, adjusting to the changes that come with time, and we listen to the stories of our participants. If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the My Body, My Story project. And today with us in the studio, Sabine. And while she's sitting in the makeup chair and Nicole is doing makeup for her, I'll be asking her a few questions. Hello, Sabine. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, Alexandra.
Let's start and tell us 10 facts about yourself.
So I was born in Switzerland, and I've with my parents, and I've got one older brother. And then after school, I lived in England for a year. I went on an exchange and did some art and English there. Then I went on to become a teacher and worked for 6 years as a teacher in Switzerland. And in that time, I met my now ex-husband. He was from Australia, but he traveled through Europe. And he spent the snow season in Switzerland with me. And that's when we sort of fell in love. And I then decided to come to Australia. That was in 2001.
Wow.
Yeah. So quite a while ago. And we lived in South Australia first, just him and I and two dogs. Then we wanted to travel around Australia, and we started with the West Coast, packed a troop carrier and the caravan and surfed along the West Coast. And then it was my father's 70th birthday and we went back to Switzerland for a bit. And when we got back, we wanted to do the East Coast. And when we were traveling along the East Coast, we were sort of between Melbourne and Sydney. We visited a friend of my ex-husband's. And we stayed there for a bit and looked after his house. And then I fell pregnant with twins. And because I had a few complications in the pregnancy, nothing serious, but just sort of with twins, you're a bit more careful. We stayed and, yeah, then I gave birth to my beautiful twins. They're now nearly 16. End of the year, they will be 16, a boy and a girl. And so we ended up staying in Browley, which is near Batemans Bay on the south coast of New South Wales. And after when my kids were a little bit older, I started teaching at the local high school. And I've been working for over a decade with youth who are trauma affected, so in special ed. And I really, really enjoy working with the young people. They sort of show me a lot about resilience and just how they still have a humour or the courage to keep going, even though sometimes it seems that their world is quite challenging. And because I sort of felt that I really, or the school system maybe doesn't know enough how to really support these young people who may have a bit different needs, I started studying psychology about 3 years ago, and I finished my grad dip in psychology last year. And this year, 2023, I've actually got a year off from work and uni because I thought I needed a bit of a break. And I've been doing yoga for over 20 years regularly, and I used the start of this year to become a yoga teacher.
So you're a versatile person.
Yes, trying to be. And also the other thing is that I'm a really passionate rock climber, so I climb rocks a lot. But because I'm I'm 51 now, getting a bit older, I think yoga is really good for me. Sort of it's a really nice sort of way to still be fit, but sort of a body-mind connection, and it helps me with regulating myself, keeps me mobile, flexible, and yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Mm. So flexibility. It seems like your kids were decided for you the place you live now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They and decided we want to be here.
Yeah. And it's it's a really beautiful spot for kids to grow up, Rowley. It's safe. And
so you stayed in the same, like the spot you visited your ex-husband's friends, the same place?
No, he sold that and we bought a house.
I mean the same location.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm still in the house where my children were born. I mean, they were born at the hospital, but in the same house. And I love it. And there are quite a few families with kids my kids' age. And they go to school together and they could just meet each other, go to the beach, go for a bike ride. And it's just, it's really, really safe. That's what I like.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned it earlier, but still I want to ask in the interview. Okay, you said you were from Switzerland, so probably you speak more than one language.
Well, excuse me. My French used to be better than my English when I came here, but I have only spoken English and Swiss German since I've lived in Australia, more or less. So the passive vocabulary would probably still be okay, but I'm very rusty with my French.
But basically, it's three languages.
Yeah, four.
Four? What's the fourth one?
Retromanisch. I don't even know what's that called in English, to be honest. It's quite close to Latin, Italian Latin. And I only speak Swiss German to my children.
But who is it? It's like a Swiss language?
Yeah, it's in the southeastern part of Switzerland, near sort of Chur and Davos, in the Graubünden, we call it, the state of Graubünden, where they speak it. But I think it's dying out a little bit.
It's interesting. Can you say anything on that?
I can't say anything. We used to learn children's songs, but I can't remember them. Yeah.
It would be interesting to hear. I'll search on the internet.
Yeah,
because I never heard maybe I did, but I never knew it was the language. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So you mentioned about aging. Mm-hmm. And so before moving to that part, so you mentioned you have, you're teaching yoga, and is it a kind of a private lessons, or how do you?
At the moment, I do, my business name is Shamatha Yoga, which I do community classes. I sort of specialize in yin yoga, very slow yoga, and I'm also a mindfulness teacher, so I combine that a bit. Those are classes. I've started there's a trauma-informed yoga facilitator training, and I've started that, and I think with that very specialized sort of target group of people who have got complex PTSD or complex trauma, I'd probably prefer doing one-on-one sessions once I've got that training, or at least until the customer and I, we know each other and we've sort of established a bit of a relationship of trust. And so I'm quite excited to do that, because I was diagnosed with PTSD in 2019 after a near fatal accident. And
what is that? What does it mean?
Post-traumatic stress disorder. And I felt that even though I can't cognitively remember what happened, my body does, and my body sometimes reacts.
Emotional memory.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also part of the reason why I really wanted to delve into yoga a bit deeper, or sometimes in our classrooms with my kids at school, I use a bit of yoga. And I was quite astonished how much of a difference it makes. Like we've we've been working with one girl, and sometimes she comes in the mornings very, very dysregulated, unsettled. We can't really do anything with her, and we do just 10, 15 minutes of yoga, mm-hmm. and she's calmer. She's like a different person. And yeah, that's sort of all my experience, my work background, the science behind it, all have sort of really awakened an interest in how the body and mind are connected and how yoga can really help people sort of reconnect with their bodies.
So you kind of combine psychology and yoga mm. together, mm-hmm. and for people with post-traumatic mm-hmm. disorder, mm-hmm. you can help them mm-hmm. to kind of settle a bit mm-hmm. or more or a lot. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. do you online lessons or just
everybody's going online, and maybe I will one day. I'm very much a face-to-face person. Yeah. I like the organic interaction or the seeing people, being with them in the same room.
But for that, people need to be living near you.
Yeah. I'm not saying no if someone really wanted to, but...
So what you said, do you have a website or it's
just
an
a Facebook
Instagram
page and an Instagram page, yeah.
What's, can you say it again? What's
Shamatha Yoga?
Shamatha.
That's Shamatha. It's called, it's mindfulness yoga. Mm. Or the translation.
We'll put the link in the description.
Yes, that's.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Great. So let's move to the aging questions. Mm-hmm. And what does aging means to you?
Is it okay if I give a long answer?
Yeah, sure.
It's really changed. I used to define myself a lot through my appearance. I was always, or I've always been quite fit and strong. And then when I was 46, I had that accident where I nearly died. I was in a coma for 2 to 3 weeks. Climbing accident. I fell 20 meters. And I was very close to dying, and I was in hospital for about four and a half months, and I had to learn to walk again and everything, and that has changed everything for me, what aging means. And now I experience it as an immense privilege to be able to grow old, and not everybody.
Live till this.
Yeah, can do that. And with my children, I even sometimes now, when we sit at the dinner table and eat dinner, it comes over me, that sense of gratitude. I'm still here and I can still see them grow up. So before I was like, oh no, I've got grey hair. Oh no, I've got a few wrinkles. Skin is starting to not be as tight, especially after having twins. I was huge. And now it's actually been an opportunity. That challenge of recovering from the accident was sort of an opportunity in disguise for me to reconnect to my body in a kinder way, sort of not be that self-critical or mm-hmm. have those standards that especially as women, we're just bombarded with through media, social media, that aging, they're demonizing aging for women. And that was sort of part why I asked if I could be part of this project, because I think really aging can be something extremely positive. And I think, yes, I do struggle because I've been such an active person. I do struggle sometimes not being able to do the things I used to do physically, but the ups by far outweigh the downs. Like, I've got a better relationship within myself. Not in a arrogant way, but I think hopefully everybody becomes a bit wiser with time, a bit more life experience. I'm more grounded. I know more what I want and what is good for me. So all those positives that aging can bring is those things are never really mentioned when it comes to women and aging. It's all, we don't look like we're 20 anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's all that the media seems to care about. And let's start a revolution.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to be a little part of this revolution.
He's here.
So, because you already touched this subject, I just want to expand on that. And you mentioned some, but what do you think are the main causes of body image issues?
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know the statistics, but I do think media, how women are portrayed in social media, if you look at most, if you take a woman's magazine, most ads in there about how you should look younger, anything, and it's everybody's choice, do whatever you want to, but I find it quite frightening that women in their 20s now have Botox. And I think it's, in a way, I find it sad that we sort of just focus on what the body looks like and not what we can bring to humanity, to our, I think I'm a better mother now than I when if I had children when I was 20.
Yeah.
And still, women who are 20 do a great job and they can be fantastic mothers. I, for myself, think I have a bit more wisdom and, yeah, it's just that I think media and social media maybe is the main, just the societal expectations that we should always look young.
But what about, I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. What do you think about this movement, like a positive body movements?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's
can you tell me a little bit more, please?
It's like when you accepting your body, mm-hmm. whatever, like they start bringing out full figure models,
yeah.
and you know,
awesome.
accepting your body, whatever shape you are, like what do you think about that?
Because I think it's good.
It's kind of a tricky
okay.
question, yeah,
yeah.
because. I already mentioned that in some other podcasts, and I'm just asking, mm-hmm. gathering statistics mm-hmm. from the women, what they think about it. And for me, sometimes I like the idea,
mm-hmm.
but don't you think that some of us can hide behind this concept just to let yourself go?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't thought about it from that perspective.
Because it's also pushed by media. So
yeah.
My question is why it pushed so much and what are the negative
okay.
side of that? Because
yeah.
everything has two sides, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you think it could be, for some women, it could be okay to you can let and what would the bad things be of letting yourself go, as you say? Would that be the health?
I think so.
Look, possibly, yeah. I think promoting a healthy lifestyle,
I like this concept more.
I do too. That and but we do all come in different shapes.
Exactly. So this is a very, it's a very kind of thin, I don't know, what's the expression, like a not a stable ground. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can turn it both ways.
Either way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm for the moderation. And I think that the main factor you should consider, look, anyone should consider, is your health.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because at the end of the day, what I figured out, like, we all ruled by two things, by fear and
mm-hmm.
by desire for pleasure. If
mm-hmm.
you think, you know, it's, you can bring everything to these two things. Like, you know, why we start suddenly appreciating, like, once we face those life-threatening accidents
mm-hmm.
or life-threatening experience, that's the usually awakening for us, you know,
mm-hmm.
like suddenly we start thinking that there's nothing more valuable than our health
mm-hmm.
or our
mm-hmm.
life. So
mm-hmm.
it's like a fear of dying, yeah, or
Okay.
So that's kind of a bit of a deeper look into the subject. Mm-hmm. Or we all want to get pleasure and we want to indulge ourselves, like we want to eat food, any food without thinking how damaging it can be, or it's same with the drugs, smoke, like whatever. Mm-hmm. All the pleasures are some, like not all, but a lot of them are to do with the health deteriorating consequences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm just thinking that any concept that pushed by media, like you should ask yourself, like, what's the main reason? Like,
what's the goal?
What's the goal? Like, and I think that the main factor should be, am I healthy? Am I?
I agree with that.
Positive, energized. Like, if you feel happy with your, we have different shapes. Like, some person is fuller than the other one, but when it goes over the top, where you put on weight and you feel really bad, you cannot move.
Oh no! Yeah, definitely. That
you have blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever. Yeah. I'm against this body positive concept. So, but if your body could talk, what do you think it would ask you? Tell you.
If my body could talk, I think I hope now it would thank me. Because I've learned to slow down, I've learned to listen to my body, I've learned to take rests when my body needs a rest. I never took a rest. I treated my body pretty poorly before. I just was sort of performance driven and
pushing to the
limit. Yeah, pushing, and just treated my body like a commodity. And when I came back from hospital after the accident, I actually almost sort of as a routine when I went to bed at night, I apologized to my body to what I put it through over the years. And I also thanked it that it's what it does every day for me, still functioning. And so hopefully my body would thank me as well that I'm learning to listen to it. And it's not, I think it's a lot of people, or again, that comes sort of from the yoga background or the psychological background, find it quite difficult to sense what's actually happening in their bodies at this moment, and learning to sort of tune in the different physical sensations in the different situations was for me really important and really eye-opening as well. Because as I said, often the body reacted without me knowing what's going on or realizing what was going on. And I really enjoy being more in tune with my body and sort of feeling what's happening. It sort of has given me sort of the opportunity to live a bit more authentically. Mm. Yeah.
So what was your biggest lesson from that accident?
Gratitude. Mm. Gratitude to be alive, I think. Really, that and as you sort of said, I don't sweat the little things anymore that much. For me, health and family are the two. I mean, a lot of people say that's their most important thing, or are their most important things, but it has sort of really increased. Like, I've gained a new understanding of what health means, and having family or being able to be there for your children, what that means.
Yeah, only facing the threat of losing any of that, we just realized the real value.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, if you could go back at any age,
yes,
what age it would be, why, and what advice would you give yourself at this age?
Yeah, funny, like when I read the question, I read all the questions in advance for a few days. I thought, I don't want to go back to any time, but then I sort of picked two The first one is sort of maybe when I'm back to when I was a 4 or 5 year old child, just to sort of see again how a child sees the world, sort of with that curiosity and that ability to wonder and,
unconditionally.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one then was maybe just before my accident, to sort of see how much I've changed as a person and how my body felt then compared to now, because my body now, I know it's changed a lot, but it's become the new norm. So I would probably just, not for long, just sort of go and quickly, maybe half an hour to see what it was like. But I'm not someone who would like to go back in time. I'm very happy where I am.
But what would you say to this 4-year-old girl?
Stay curious. I reckon. And everything will turn out okay. Maybe not how we planned it or how we wanted sometimes, but it will be okay. And the other thing that maybe came more with me in puberty, where I sort of started to have self-doubt, and then maybe you're enough. Just sort of to instill into younger people that they're okay, they're enough as they are.
It's such a simple phrase, but you know, it's so hard to get it under your skin, like to understand it fully. You know, what does it mean? You're enough. Like when you have to go through certain live events again to start feeling it. That's a very interesting phenomenon for me. What you can say, whatever you want to your kids, and thinking, oh my God, they're young, they're full of life, and you know, it's so sad that they think that they're not looking perfect or something, feeling perfect. You want to tell them this, but just remember yourself at this age. So we were what our mom would say. How do you think the negative body image can affect relationships? Because that's the one of the important sides. I think the relationships is a very important part of our life. When you have your negative body image, do you think it affects?
100%. I think how can you love someone else if you don't love yourself in a way, and if you don't love your body? And that's what I mean. Like, we could be quite open here. Like, I think, for instance, even though there are parts of my body that sag, I definitely have better sex now than when I had 20. And that's because I have a better relationship to my body, with my body.
More relaxed.
And I think if people really struggle with that body image, they're almost like in a prison. And I think it's really difficult then to send love outwards if you don't have any love inwards. So for me, that was my relationships have changed. The men that I'm attracted to have changed in a positive way since I've, and it's an ongoing process, but the more positive my relationship is with myself and with my body, the more positive are the relationships I have with people around me. And so in whatever way people can, try to befriend their bodies.
So you attract, obviously, whatever it is, either it's vibration you show to the other people, or like you just choose, make different choices of people whom you're, it's not only the partners, but, you know, friends,
absolutely,
work,
totally, absolutely. And if you know your worth, you stay where your worth is recognized. And I know for myself that I stayed in places where my worth wasn't recognized when I was younger. 100%.
And it just, you need to really value yourself to understand that, and just to leave the place or the person and say, okay, we go separate ways.
And look, just picking up from before. I always, when I was a teenager, I had a group of girlfriends that were really important to me to have that social network. But I grew up with a few really strong women around me, and the guidance that I got from them would not have been the friends my age were gave me different support. But I was so lucky to have wiser, older women who could guide me or were there for me in challenging times. And I think that aspect, again, as we said before, of what aging means is not promoted. Like, older people can be such
good inspirations.
And in, like, for instance, in the Aboriginal
mentors.
Culture, the elders are, it's way more open, that's a respected person with who can guide you or mentor you. And in our culture, it's a bit disappeared, that knowledge, which is, it's really sad. And I always liked also going to my grandmother's when I was younger. It's nice to have sort of that intergenerational interaction, and you can gain something from everyone.
Yeah.
And it keeps, I think now when I'm with really young children or working with adolescents, it keeps me young at heart, in my mind, I think, so I gain as well differently.
You know, it's like every woman has to, like at our age is kind of a middle age where we can have our mentors and be mentors ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, remind me the movie Prime with Meryl Streep, where mm-hmm. she's a psychologist and she's one of her clients, apparently a girlfriend, older girlfriend of her son, and when she finds it out, she goes to her psychologist.
Oh.
And it's such a beautiful movie.
What's it called?
It's called Prime.
I have to
Meryl
watch it.
Meryl Streep and yeah. Uma Thurman.
Oh, I love both of those
yeah.
actresses.
Yeah, so
okay.
This is like a really great movie.
Awesome.
And I like this scene when the Meryl Streep psychologist goes her to her own psychologist.
Yeah.
And so it's like in the psychology world, say, like every shrink has their own shrink.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So when you have, if you have, because I'm sure from time to time we still feel insecure or some body-related insecurities. So how do you overcome that? And mm-hmm. has it changed with age?
Yes. So I definitely have challenges some days, more than others. Because I do mindfulness regularly, if I feel that I'm having a bad day in relation to myself or to my body or whatever, or aging, then if I have the time, and this year I have, I sort of sit and acknowledge these sentiments without wanting to try to change them necessarily, but just know, okay, today I feel like that, and I try to accept it. And sometimes by just giving those sentiments or feelings a bit of room, they become less intense. The other thing is, I know now that it will change again, it will pass. It's ebb and flow, life is an ebb and flow. And then I guide my focus onto all the positives that I have about my body. Like, my biggest body issues probably were the changes that came through childbirth. Different breasts, different tummy. And then I think of my children. And I think what a miracle I was able to grow two children, to nurture two human beings that are now awesome teenagers.
Yeah.
And again, so I try to bring my focus back on these things. And I think, well, a bit of saggy stomach skin in contrast to having two beautiful children, like,
it's worth it.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah, yeah. So like that. But I'm not saying it's easy every day. Some days, as I said, it's just harder, and that's okay.
What did you do when you were young? obviously you didn't do so much mindfulness.
Mm. I didn't like my body. Mm. I didn't like myself very much until.
If you had insecurities, what to do? Diet, killing yourself in the gym.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
Excessive gym. Yeah. No, dieting was never. I love food. I love good foods. I don't eat fast food. Mm. I like Swiss dark chocolate. That's my weak point. But yeah. If I eat it, I try to make that decision. I've decided to eat
Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese as well, yeah. But I don't like lollies that much. Mm. So I could never, I had friends who dieted and I thought, how can they? And somehow I was lucky, I always used to have a really fast metabolism. Mm. I've noticed, I've just gone through menopause, that it's slowed down immensely. Yeah. And my body shape has changed, but exercise, active. And it wasn't always healthy, but it wasn't the unhealthiest method that I used. Like, I always felt better after going for a run or a bike ride. And then I ate without guilt, because I think a lot of women eat with guilt, which is horrible. And now I try to, impulsive eating. Mm-hmm. So if I have an urge for something that's not healthy, I try and sit with it for half an hour, and then if I still want it, I say, okay, Sabine, we're going to make a decision. I'm going to have it. If I'm going to have it, I'm going to have it and enjoy it.
And enjoy it, yeah.
Fully enjoy it. So that, but exercising.
Are you saying that when you were young, it was more kind of a physical solution, mm-hmm. and now is more psychological
work with
yourself?
Yeah. Big sigh.
My last question, mm-hmm. I love it, because we have so many different answers to that, and some of them are similar.
Yeah.
What's your favorite quote or saying about being a woman?
Yeah, I've thought about that as well. It's actually a story. Mm. It's an I think an American Mexican psychologist, mm. Clarissa, and she wrote that book, Running with the Wolf. Oh, you know it?
Yeah.
Awesome. And La Loba, mm-hmm. is my favorite story. Mm. So this old woman is seen in the mountains, who collects bones, especially wolf bones, and she puts them together until she's got a skeleton. And then and each bone represents something that women lose throughout their lives, like assertiveness, or where they suddenly become submissive, their curiosity, their independence. And she puts that skeleton together, and when the skeleton is complete, she starts singing, but from deep down inside of her. And the more she sings, suddenly that skeleton develops organs, skin, fur, and then it suddenly gets up, runs away as a wolf. Wow. And in the horizon, you can see how that wolf turns into a woman, a wild, free woman. Wow. And for me, it's such an awesome. And I've got two big tattoos on my legs that represent that. Stay wild, stay independent, stay free. And I think, I don't know how you, you've got Italian background, you've got Eastern European, I've got European background. My personal experience is, growing up in Switzerland, women are stronger, more independent, more assertive than here. And that's just my anecdotal, my personal experience. But I thought, I'm so glad I grew up there and had such strong women around me to grow up. And I'm hoping to be able to pass that on to my daughter. Mm. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Sabin. Thank you very much for sharing your story and wise words. And I hope you will enjoy the rest of your day and your photo shoot and this experience.
If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.